I thought it would be a good idea for us to get a strong, heavy dose of hope and inspiration at the beginning of this year. We're still into the early part of it, so here we go with a tremendous motivator, Dr. L. Diane Bennett.
In a partnership, and when we are, we look out for the needs of the other person. We are considerate of the needs of the other person. It's not enough to say, you know, I've worked all day and I'm really tired. Well, the spouse that stays at home has worked all day and is tired as well. So I think that whole partnership piece and also, I was raised, I'm an old school sister. I'm a baby boomer. So I was raised in a house where my dad was in the military and my mother, whenever my dad came home, my mother's attitude was, we are all a part of this family. So we all had chores. We all had responsibilities. We all had things that we had to do to maintain the quality of life at home. And I think that parents do children a disservice when they do not include them in the family network and in the because it's an ecosystem. And if one person is doing everything and you got two or three kids over here that are doing nothing but whatever they, you know, pertains to them, homework, video games, and social media, you're doing children a disservice because at some point they're going to have to grow up and get out of your house and go to college, and they'll need to take care of themselves. And I think that when we are vested and invested in our home life and the whole family ecosystem, we value it more, we're more grateful for it, and I think we're more grateful to our parents as we're going through our formative years and getting to a point where we're getting outside of the home.
I agree with you. And in fact, you were talking about relationships. It's so important for the children to begin to learn early that it is fair to have the labor divided. Mm-hmm. Can you imagine a person growing up thinking, even if only on a subconscious level, that it's okay to take advantage of someone else by having them to do 85-95% of all the work that needs to be done while you basically just chill, and how that all plays out when it's time for them to get married.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Absolutely. That is such an excellent point. And I'll even take it one step further. Even when they're looking for employment and you're working, a work ethic is taught. Parents teach children a work ethic. Yeah, it is a great work ethic to demonstrate when you go out to work every day and children see you making a living for the family. But it's also critical that children understand that there's a work ethic in a family structure. All of us have responsibilities. All of us have chores and all of us have things to do. I definitely think that it is a misnomer. I know of people that say, you know what, I struggled all of my life. I don't want my kids to struggle, so I'm going to try and give them all the things that I didn't have. That's fine. That's fine conceptually. But when you think about it, the reason you are the person that you are is because your parents taught you a work ethic. They never gave you anything. They taught you. If you want it, you have to work for it. Even if it was doing chores around the house, you know, cutting lawns in the neighborhood or raking leaves or things of that nature, walking dogs, we learned a work ethic. And I think that it's unfair to raise children that do not have a strong work ethic. And when you rear children that don't have a strong work ethic, you talk about it in a relationship. You talk about that within a dynamic, within a workplace. And a lot of my training, the workshops and the trainings that I design are designed around team building and how do we divide the labor on a team in an office. And a lot of times we have to go back to the basics because you are dealing with a generation of people that don't have a work ethic. And so it does cause friction in relationships, but it also causes friction in the workplace.
That is so interesting because when you say a generation that has not really developed that work ethic, are you speaking particularly of the millennial age group, the Generation Y, both?
I think you're talking all three, Gen X, Gen X, Millennials, and Gen Y. Now, that is not to say that all individuals in those generations do not have a work ethic. However, they have to adjust the way they work to the way work is being done. Mm-hmm. And I think that becomes a challenge in the workplace when you have three and four generations of workers. And with the 2008 economic recession, people are working longer. They're staying in on jobs longer. So therefore, you may have a traditionalist, a person that's maybe a decade or so older than I am. And then you have the Gen Xers, millennials, and then even the Gen Yers that are working in the same workplace. And it causes friction when you have people with a different type of work ethic. I believe that when you're always looking for a shortcut, you're looking for, okay, instead of me doing this, I can do this. I don't have to stay at work and do the work that is being required. I can do it remotely. Okay, that's fine, but at some point, you have to realize how your work ethic is impacting the team dynamic, and that means that we may have to adjust. All of us end up working, as you know, whether you're working for yourself or whether you're working for others, we all have to adjust to the environment in which we're thrust. And if you have not been given or you don't have a traditional work ethic, it's difficult for you to fit in a traditional workplace. And although many workplaces are shifting and we're going to remote and we're relying a lot more on technology, we still need people and we're dealing with people. So we definitely need to understand that there are some basic aspects of a work ethic that everybody needs to have.
Real talk about the real world, ladies and gentlemen. I'm speaking with Dr. L. Diane Bennett. Stay with us. More insights from her when we come back. Right here on WTHB 1550 AM, The Voice.